Every successful person got there by going through tough times. Success is a hard-ass teacher who likes to knock you around along that journey. You know, it takes real guts to not give up and keep going. We'll hear stories about failures and how these leaders flipped the script to create success. I'm John Schultz. Join me and let's discover how success is never really overnight.
Welcome to the John Schultz Podcast. Very excited for this episode. I have a friend, a golfing buddy, and someone I've known for a very, very long time, Sandy Petricelli Jr. Welcome.
Thank you.
So glad to have you here. We love talking about the myth of overnight success, and obviously you've gone through an amazing journey. Currently, the Chief Executive Officer of Allen Brightway Electrical Contractors. And, you know, what a time to be in that industry with all the electrification of everything, right? From, sure, you know, EVs to data centers. And you provide Fortune 500 companies, many New Jersey's top commercial, pharmaceutical, medical, education, communications, all sorts of amazing companies through the tri-state and the country, actually. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
All right. So, you know, what I love about my podcast is, you know, I could know people for years, but I actually get to know them better through this process. Why? Because I ask questions I normally don't answer when we're just hanging out. So to get, you know, a perspective on you, the first question I want to ask is, where are you originally from? And also describe yourself growing up.
So I was originally from Brooklyn, New York. I was a very active young boy. I played all kinds of sports. I played football, I played basketball, I played baseball. My neighborhood consisted of a lot of young kids my age, so I had a nice friend group. I had a nice, and I still, to this day, still remain in touch with those guys. I went to grade school there, St. Mary's Mother of Jesus. And then at the ripe old age of 15, my dad decided to take us out from Brooklyn, New York, and move us to Clark, New Jersey.
There you go.
It was interesting. I met a lot of great guys in Clark, New Jersey, quite honestly, who I'm still buddies with till today. Had a great education there. I went to Johnson Regional in Clark. Graduated there. Did 1 year at St. John's University, and then from there I went to Fordham University, and after I graduated Fordham, I went to graduate school back at St. John's.
So, Sandy, you know, what was your challenge? I know it's, you said you did it and it's easy, but what challenges did you feel when you actually moved at such a young age, 15, you have all your friends, and then you're leaving them?
Well, you know, I always thought of myself as a personable type of guy. Easily, you know, I would go up to people, talk to them, kids, I'd go up to them, talk to them, you know, a lot in common, sports, I use sports a lot, you know, to engage in conversations with people. And back then when we moved, quite honestly, we moved next to a family that had three sons, and I became friendly with them at first. And then the block that I moved on, a lot of young guys, all sports guys, and quite honestly, it wasn't a total smooth transition, but it was, for me, it was fairly smooth.
Yeah, and what I like about it, though, you know, it was your first experience in having to deal with something that wasn't uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, right.
It was uncomfortable. Like, it wasn't just the ease and comfort of staying where you were, which, you know, this is how we grab our roots. All right, so you hung out in Jersey, you know, you did your thing, you played a lot of sports, and then you went to Fordham. You know, what were your aspirations? First of all, you know, when, you know, college is great, but what were your aspirations when you were in Fordham? What did you want to be? What were your dreams? You know, and how did that go?
You know, for me, what I did was I didn't decide right away what I wanted to do. I just wanted the education. And education in my family, I mean, my dad, who has the equivalent of a 2-year college degree, he went at night. It always imposed education, education, education. So I was like, okay, so, you know, I didn't mind it. My biggest thing was I wanted to be as good as a business person slash entrepreneur that I could be, that me, myself could do. I didn't want really other people to do it for me. I wanted to see succeed myself. And then, quite honestly, you know, I was really interested in the family business at the time. So I really, on days off, semesters off, I would actually go and work with my dad just to see, you know, how things work, you know, dealing with older people, dealing with all kinds of potential business situations. And, you know, I worked it like that, kept my mouth closed, my eyes open and my ears open. So it was fun. And quite honestly, you know, success to me, like what was my passion in going further in life, you know, like I just, it wasn't only about money. I wanted to be the best type of person I could be. I wanted to be a loyal, you know, to my employees. You know, I wanted the right thing for the people that worked for me. And, you know, it really turned out real well for me.
Well, and that's what you are. We all know you as that. So what was the first job then? Like, so that was like you went with your father. Like, you know, it's funny. I did that too, because I just wanted to understand what he did, candidly. And I wanted to spend more time with him when I was younger, because he was working hard. What was your first job?
So, as you said before in the beginning of the podcast, was that we're a very diversified organization. My first job was a job called a gasser washer. So our fleet of vehicles, I would be in the yard. The vehicle would come in. I'd gas it. I'd clean it down. I'd check its oil, and I'd put it away in its spot in the yard. And that was my first job. My second job was as a mechanic. And as a mechanic, you know, to learn the trucks, learn the vehicles. Now, you have to remember, I'm young at this point, right? I'm not done with college just yet. I'm still, you know, studying. I got a few years left to go. And then I worked in all the various aspects. I was an expediter, which means delivering tools and materials to job sites. And then my next job was I started to hit all of the departments within the organization. I started in the finance department. I went into the estimating department. I went to project management department. And then I went to the sales department. And after I graduated college, I really had a niche for selling. So I went into sales full time, and I was an assistant salesman, worked for a young gentleman who was very good, taught me a lot. And as time went on, you know, I climbed the corporate ladder, as they say.
I just love this. You know why? Because I always said, like, if you're going to own a restaurant, you better start washing the dishes. Yeah. Like you need to know every aspect, whether you own the company or not, if you want to succeed, right? The fun part is like knowing someone else's job, first of all, so you can realize how hard it is and that nothing creates something great that's easy, right? And you know how to be empathetic to those situations when it gets hard. And then I also, my number one thing is like, I don't care what company you work for, like sales and relationships are why anything ultimately succeeds. You know, unless you create something that, you know, everybody wants quickly in some technology company. But even that, like, you got to get people to believe in that technology for it to be adopted. So you finish college, you got all this great sort of internship experience, right? That's right. What it sounds like. Correct. And then, you know, was it like, yes, I'm going right into this business? Or did you feel you wanted to go out and like spread your wings to something else first?
So that's interesting, right? So the answer to your first part, yes, I wanted to go right into the business. What happened as time went on, right, and I started to get more and more involved, is there was an element, because we are a union contractor. So there was a union element to this whole thing that I really didn't understand, you know, the politics and all of that. So as time went on, I was not succeeding as where I wanted to be. I was like not doing well. And quite honestly, you know, I had a conversation with my dad, and he was like, you know, what's going on? I said, you know, Dad, I don't really know that I can hack this. You know, I come, you know, from a great education. I can do numbers. I know business. You know, I love sales. But, you know, the project management and the producing of the work was, for me, very difficult. And I had to learn that and deal with the union element of things. once, and that took years. I'll be totally honest with you. It took me.
Did you say that was your biggest challenge?
Biggest challenge.
And the most uncomfortable part of it for you? Okay.
Yes. And it wasn't until my late 20s as I started to understand. And I started to, see it their way sometimes. And they had enough of respect for me because I always respected them, no matter what, good and bad. They started to listen to me and we started to work very well together, and it was great working relationship. And now my unions are my biggest advocate.
But that's what people need to realize. That like what you see from the outside isn't always what someone's going through, right? It looks good. It looks like everything's happening, but you were maturing in how you had to learn, and you were. But the good thing, it seems like you were willing to stick to it. Because you could have easily said, this isn't working for me, Dad. I feel like I have to go somewhere else. Right. All right. So you stuck through that, right? You started growing through the ranks. What would you say being in a business that, sort of is through the years part of your family, was your biggest challenge for you to feel good and for you to succeed for yourself?
Well, at the end of the day, because people, you're the boss's son, they try to, some people, would just like, yes, yes, yes. And some people would try to, challenge you and not make, not help you make a success out of yourself.
Right.
I was very respectful. I always respected all of my bosses. And ultimately, my father was the boss. And I never appeared myself. I never wanted me to be people to think I was on his level because I wasn't.
Right.
I'm a young guy learning the business. I got all these guys that I'm reporting to. And as time went on and as more and more successful I became, these guys saw it and they embraced me. Right. And the greatest thing is that when I took over the business, most of these guys didn't leave. They stayed with me. And my father was no longer part of the business. I bought the business out of the family and these guys stayed and it became a tremendous success. And that was the most gratifying thing.
So you can give, right? Because you live this. And, what I love about family businesses is they're the majority of our country. I mean, really think about it, right?
There's
large public companies. Yes, there's all these entrepreneurial startups. But if you really look at the crux a business, it's all these amazing family businesses, whatever size they are, right? Would you say are two plus things that really someone young that really wants to be in it should do your way, right? Because there's, I get this from everyone has different feelings.
Yeah, a couple of things, right? So number one, if I had to do it over again, I might have worked for somebody else to see how it was just to do it because it was, motivating yourself, making sure you're in on time. You got to be in early, working late. So that's one. Number two, you got to always remember who your boss is. You're not the boss. You're not coming into the family business and automatically, okay, I have say here. You're not. You got to learn. These guys have been doing this for years prior to me being in there. So you had to learn and listen to these guys. And then ultimately, you got to work hard. I mean, there's nothing.
But you would say that maybe 2-3 years, like going out, just getting your butt kicked
by
someone else, and even maybe bringing some other things to the table.
Correct.
Like almost finding something that might add to the niche of the company Which, listen, you're a smart guy. You figured that out anyway. And there's no right or wrong way, correct? Right. But like, I'm glad you're at least saying that's something maybe you would do differently.
Yes.
All right. So you worked your way. I love the fact that people stayed because they love being with you and they love the dynamic of the company. It's amazing. And then you end up eventually with this new entity that we discussed at the beginning, your new company. What made you do that? Why did you feel it's something you needed to do? Mm-hmm. And, let's hear about that.
So, an opportunity came to me back in 2005 and the person was like, you do know these people from Allen Brightway? And I was like, I do, because I was a Jersey company as well. And I said that you know, what's going on? And they said, they're in trouble. They need some help. Would you help me turn the company around? And I said, absolutely, I would. He goes, and at the end, we could talk about potentially a purchase. So I was like, okay, so.
And to let everybody know, like, they were around 60 years. Like,
yeah, they're around, yes. They were actually two separate companies, a company by the name of Allen and the other company by the name of Brightwood.
Right, so these are real big, you know. Yes, exactly, yeah. Okay.
And what I liked about it was they did, their business model was pretty much similar to my business model, you know, with all the types of businesses they were involved in the electrical world. So it really was, to me, it was something that it was worth taking a look at and trying to help. So I did. And now I own the company in New Jersey and the company in New York. And the company in New York was a company by the name of Petrocelli Electric.
All right. So you have this Allen Brightway opportunity, right? 60-year-old company. It's right. No joke. They asked you to, you know, be a part of this and help them, I guess, more of a like expedition, not really a solidified thing. So how did that go? What made you even take that leap? I mean, you had what you had.
I wanted expansion. And like I said, the organization business model was very similar to mine in New York. There was also some real estate value to it. They own their own real estate. So originally what happened with them, right, is they got into trouble. They got into some big financial trouble. And now they were owned by a conglomerate out of Connecticut. And they were like, listen, we don't want anything to do with this New Jersey market. Would you be interested? They came to me, yes, yes, yes. And then at the end of the day, so I purchased the corporation. And it was great. It was fixed. Financially, it was fine. Everything was great. And then in the meantime, you know, I started to think about, you know, moving, you know, the Allen Brightway name, the branding of it, you know, up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And, you know, although Petrocelli Electric was very known in New York, it was really me, right? So at the time, it was time for me to like say goodbye to the Petrocelli name and make it, rebrand it Allen Brightway. And I did. So moving forward now, you know, there are different types of Allen Brightway entities. It's, you know, there's utilities, there's facilities maintenance, there's mechanical maintenance. So it's a lot of different components that now incorporate into the Allen Brightway product.
So what was your biggest challenge? Because Sandy, I mean, like, it's a lot of organization what you do. I mean, there's people, there's jobs, there's estimating, there's getting things done on time.
Right.
I mean, it's all... What was your biggest challenge from like having an infrastructure that you sort of knew it was huge, but like it was sort of going to having to expand? What was your worst sort of, you know, nightmare that you had to go through?
Human resources, John, it's about the people, right? So for me, it was getting the people with knowledge, the people who knew the industry, the people who had the drive, the, you know, the individual that was like, you know, committed to making the corporation a success, not only in themselves, but, you know, for everybody. And for me, you know, I don't consider myself a micromanager. I'm more of a macro manager, you know, and I got guys who I trust who've been with me again for a very long time that they've grown in their own professional, you know, way and have now made the company a success. And bottom line is, you know, without the people, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today. I would not.
And did you have to, I guess you have like managers that, you know, do different areas and it does, what does it do throughout the whole state and different parts of the country? Like how big did this get?
So, you know, on the electrical services side, you know, the tri-state area, New York State, we're up in New York State. Then there's a facilities maintenance business that's, you know, in Washington and California. And we're looking to expand that and, you know, to Florida and so on and so forth. And we take the Allen Brightway Electric name with us also, you know, and doing electrical work, small jobs here and there, and seeing if that there's an opportunity for us to grow a company.
When you take something over that wasn't what you were doing for years and the brand you had,
right,
what's the challenges in taking a new brand? You know, it's a new name, right? And what did you find that you didn't realize that maybe helped you, but also did anything come up that was a challenge?
So what we would do is if there was an existing company, or an individual that was key to that, we'd make sure that we take that person and let them grow with us, you know, teach us the surroundings. We understand the business aspect of it. We know how to execute the business, but it's, you know, learning, you know, the type of people we'll be dealing with, you know, the sales aspect of it. You know, we'll put the project managers and estimators there. You know, we'll get the manpower because we are a union company. It's a little bit easier for us going to the local unions and saying, come on board. And, you know, being a good contractor, people are going to respect that, right? And they're going to want to work for you. And, but it was like, you know, making sure that we had that personnel in that area who, you know, knew what he's doing, knew the area, and was wanting to work.
And they had a good reputation, right? Yeah. So you're lucky, right? Because you didn't, maybe they had some issues, but like, I always knew them as a good name too, so.
But John, we also vetted them out, right? You vet everybody out. Yeah.
Right.
You know,
good.
Get in there, you're looking at them, you're looking, you know, up and down. Yep. On a personal level, you're watching them, you know, on a financial level, you're looking at it, you're overviewing it and everything, so on and so forth. So that's basically, you know, really how we started to grow and we continue.
So what do you envision the future of Allen Brightway and what steps do you feel you want to take to get there? I mean, like we said at the beginning, there's just so much innovation and how do you like not chase that shiny object too fast?
Right.
And not keep your core, but also like move with the world.
So, you know, with electrical contracting in the traditional sense, it was, you know, lights, receptacles, you know, bringing power to a building. Now it's grown into, you know, like you said before, the IT world is different. Data center world is different. Infrastructure now, you know, is going to be, I think, the next biggest thing that's going to come on, as well as also.
And give the audience what you mean by that in your business, like what kind of infrastructure?
So infrastructure, bridges, tunnels, highways, everything has electric in it. You know, there's lighting in tunnels, there's lighting on bridges, you know, there's all kinds of electronics. And with that type of stuff, it's going to be huge. It's going to be really big. You know, here in the state of New Jersey right now, there's a lot of work that's going to be done. A lot of road work has to be done. And with road work, you know, there comes street lighting and traffic lights.
All the stuff we take for granted, right?
All the stuff that everybody goes through.
It's not there.
How does that work? Well,
so how do you, I mean, listen, you can say you're doing it all, but in the face of all these technological advancements, what kind of learning do you need to do? Like, how do you expand your operation? Is it a different talent you need to go after? Is that going to expand the pool?
Yes.
But, you know, because I just think, you know, it's a business that I think more people need to understand because it just seems like there's so much opportunity.
Yes. So, yeah, it's definitely, you have to go out there.
The engineers, like, how do you see this going? Because, you know, like you said, it's not outlets, right?
You got to go out and get the people that understand this. And you have to have some knowledge of that field or that industry to vet the individuals that you're looking to hire that really know the industry. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not that easy. I have a group of guys in my organization that are as bright as people that I know. I mean, they're some of the most technically brilliant people that I know. And these guys are the ones that are guiding us and saying, hey, look, we like this this space. We want to be in this space. Okay. I figure out the business plan, how to get into the space. And they tell me how to actually do it, do the work.
To execute.
To execute.
So do you see a lot of new verticals in the future?
No.
I guess you said infrastructure, right? You got data center.
I don't see a lot of vertical right now. I mean, I see a lot more airport work coming out. There's going to be a lot of airport work that's going to be had.
So a lot of infrastructure, which we need, right? I mean, it's we're getting older as an area, right? So, right. I mean, even with the new airport wing at, you know, in Newark, it's like fantastic, right? It's like feels good that and there's so many great companies moving in to New Jersey, you know, from the streaming, you know, all the streaming content providers, the life sciences, which we're involved in. So, you know, do you still love what you do?
I do love it. I mean, there have been times where, you know, it gets tough. you know, and people have said to me, Sam, why do you keep doing this? And I'm because I love it. I mean, you know, as crazy sometimes as it sounds, from, you know, an electrical contracting business to now something real substantial, it's, you know, it's great. Building, you know, these organizations is fun for me, you know, dealing with the people, fun for me. I'm not out there actually doing the electrical work, thank God, because...
You know, that's another question. Have you ever done any electrical work?
Somebody would get hurt. No.
Somebody would get hurt. That's fun.
And it'd be me.
I totally feel, you know, what you do is such a core component of everything, right? Yeah. Especially where the world's going. So you're in a great vertical. I love how you expanded it. What advice would you give young Sandy today after all this experience? And from what year did you, like, how many years was it till you actually bought Brightway? How many years were you in the business?
I bought the first Allen Brightway company in 2007. And then I bought the remaining portion of Petrocelli Electric in 2012.
But you were in the business, what, 15?
I was 15 years, 20 years? Yes.
So it took that long to get you where you were. So what advice would you give a young person coming into business today?
When you are young, you know, when the older people are talking to you about business and when they tell you hard work, I mean, it's hard work. You got to work hard. Quite honestly, I think it's good for you. It keeps your mind sharp. It keeps you going. It's, you know, it's really good for you. You got to respect others. I mean, you know, you got to respect the people that you're working with in your own peer group and your supervisors and bosses. I tell my son too the same, obviously. And I'm serious about, I would probably, if he said to me that, I'm really considering, you know, jumping into the family business, I would say, Sam, please go work for somebody else first and you know, see how it is on the outside, because, you know, it's all good here from your perspective, but it took me a long time to get here, as I've told you before. And I want him to feel the same way, because I do want this to keep going. I'm three generations in this business. I'd love to see a fourth generation.
It's amazing, because, like, most companies don't last 5 years, and three, I mean, you should be proud of that, because it's really not out there. I mean, if you point to most companies, that doesn't happen. So, right. and you know, but the good ones are, right? Like, yeah. You know, there's, we know a bunch of them in New Jersey. They're still there because, they never took it for granted and they did the right things. And what would you say if someone wanted to get into this industry, you know, what skills do they need, you know, that are different than, like you said,
There are multiple trade schools out there that you could go to, you could attend. They offer not only, they're like colleges, they offer business degrees. So you can get the business aspect of it as well as learning the trade. I'm a big union guy. So I'm always, you know, if there's a way that you can join a local union, I'm a fan of it. I mean, they protect their employers, they check the employees and, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, so for young men that wanted to get into the industry, that's it. I mean, you know, a lot of these companies that are around today were guys who went to a trade school, joined the union, wanted to be a boss, and started their own businesses.
Amazing.
That's basically, yeah, what a lot of these guys do today. That's how a lot of these companies have started.
Well, listen, this was amazing. You know, you've had a great career, but I think you're just at the beginning of it. I really do. Because I really think that, like, with all the change we're going to go through in the next 10 years and you're a young guy, there's just so much out there. And, like, we all need to have the new infrastructure so that we can make all this innovation happen, right? It's going at the speed of light. AI, you know, all the technology that electric runs and power runs it, right? So it's exciting. And I appreciate you being on the podcast.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you.
Hi, John Schultz here. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. Would really appreciate it if you would like, comment, subscribe, and share with your friends. Looking forward to being with you soon.